Okay, before we start, look, basketball is about to begin, and here at Locked On Heat, we are looking for advertising partners for the upcoming season. If you or your business wants to try something new and take advantage of advertising with a personal touch, Locked On Heat is looking for sponsors as passionate about the Heat as our thousands of listeners. Podcast listeners are 65% more likely to engage with companies than from any other form of media. Our rates are reasonable, and they're based on the number of listens, so you get the most bang for your buck. To find out more information, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com. Okay, with the business stuff out of the way, on with the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here today with a quick reaction on the news that Josh Richardson and the Miami Heat have agreed on a four-year, $42 million contract extension, rookie scale extension, in order to keep Josh Richardson, presumably in Miami for the next 4 years. The deal kicks in next season, and it's worth about an average of $10.5 million per year. So we can get into the particulars. This makes Josh Richardson the seventh highest paid player on the roster next season. And as the Miami Herald's Barry Jackson points out, puts the Heat at $115 million committed to nine players next year. $115 million to nine players. Now, the cap, the salary cap, is projected to be $103 million. So Miami is already well above the salary cap next year. However, this Richardson deal, and I'm going to get into whether or not he's worth the money. But the reason you do the extension now, and Richardson will still be making $1.5 million this year. The extension kicks in the 2018-19 season. So this year he's still making $1.5 million. But the reason you do it now is because if Richardson blossoms in his third year, If he has a breakout season, right? If he goes out and scores 15 points a game and becomes like this 3-and-D player who is capable of getting more on the open market, then the Heat at that point would have maybe blown an opportunity to get somebody like Richardson on what could be a bargain. Which is strange to say because you look at Josh Richardson, who really only has less than a season, maybe 65 or so games of real NBA proof. During the second half of his rookie season, he was the best three-point shooter in the league, right? He led the league in three-point shooting in the second half of his rookie season. And in his second season, that whole year was derailed by injuries, but he got healthy towards the end. And in the last 13 games, he started for Deion Waiters, who got hurt again. And in the last six games, he averaged 15 points a game. And he got a bunch of steals and he got a bunch of blocks. I think he got 18 blocks in his last 13 games as a shooting guard. In two of Miami's last three games, he recorded five steals in each game. Five steals in a game in two of the last three games. He has tons of potential, and my usual co-host, David Rommel, and I have talked a lot on this podcast about the idea that Josh Richardson should start at small forward, at the nominal small forward position, and Miami should really just go with a three-guard lineup because of what he brings to the table as a shooter and as well as a defender. He's kind of the best of both worlds in between the other two options, Justice Winslow and Ronnie Magruder. And this extension shows that Richardson will have an opportunity to win the starting small forward job. 6'6" with a 6'10" wingspan. Good three-point shooter. He can handle the ball a little bit. He's explosive. He can attack closeouts. He's quick. And he forces turnovers. And he can defend at a high level. That's the kind of guy you want. Winslow, obviously, can defend at a high level, but he can't shoot. Magruder is a nice catch-and-shoot player. Can't really create his own shot. And has size limitations that make him more of a backup shooting guard than a player who should really be playing at small forward, despite him playing more than 70 games, starting more than 70 games at small forward last year. He's really more suited to be a shooting guard just because of his size. So Richardson has the length, he's got the shooting, he's got the defensive ability. It makes him an interesting player with a lot of potential. And you, if you're the Heat, you hope that Richardson can meet that potential, that he can reach his ceiling in order for this contract to be worth it. Again, $10 million on its face looks like a lot of money to a guy who has 65-70 games of a track record, of quality NBA experience that you can kind of look at and say, maybe he can do that for a full year. We've not seen it. He didn't play the first half of his rookie season. He was injured most of his second year. You want to see him play at that level and sustain that kind of play for an entire year. And we haven't seen that yet. But this is banking on the idea that he can. It's also banking on Miami's coaching staff, their player development program, and the idea that they can get Richardson to that level. We're big fans of Josh Richardson on this show. But this contract extension is interesting for a lot of reasons, and not just because of Josh Richardson. You look at now, okay, you're paying Richardson almost $10 million next year. You're also paying Tyler Johnson $19 million next year and Deion Waiters $11 million next year. This is $40 million invested in three shooting guards, none of which is an all-star player. None of those guys are all-stars. And they probably won't be this year. So you're investing $40 million into one position that was without an all-star. That's tough. That's hard. And so when you look at that, you say, well, you trade one then, right? And the obvious candidate here is Tyler Johnson. You trade Tyler Johnson. He's the highest. He'll be the second highest paid player on the team next year, if he's still on the roster. So you say trade him. But even if the Heat were to trade him, that would only open up about $7 million in cap space. They are so far over the salary cap that by trading Tyler Johnson and ridding themselves of the $19 million contract next year only gives them about $7 million in cap space. That's not enough money to sign somebody to replace Tyler Johnson and the production you'd lose out of him. It's not enough. If you trade Tyler Johnson, you only create minimal cap space that isn't enough to make any major moves. So Miami's only real option next year in regards to free agents is minimum contracts to round out its roster, acquiring draft picks somehow so that you could sign those players, because you're allowed to go over the cap to sign your draft picks, and a cap exception. Something like what Miami has a cap exception this year, $4.3 million that they've yet to use. They will have a similar cap exception next season that they could use to sign a free agent. But otherwise, they have, this is the team. And we've known that for a long time. This is the team that Pat Riley has locked himself into. And he's not only betting on his coaches to develop Josh Richardson, but he's betting on Miami's culture and player development program to develop everybody on this team. That's why they re-signed everybody. They wanted to see what last year's team that went 30-11 in the second half of the season could do, having that chemistry already being built, bringing them back onto new contracts so they didn't have to worry about being on a contract year, being free agents, and just letting them play basketball again together, because this team loved playing basketball with each other last year. They wanted to keep doing it, and now they get to. And so a lot of what comes into play here is, all right, you've got the contracts. Maybe that was a lot of money to spend on James Johnson, Deion Waiters, Josh Richardson. But if they develop, if they hit their best case scenarios or something close to it, these questionable-looking contracts turn into bargains. Before we keep going, I want to quickly remind you to make sure that you subscribe to David Locke's Locked On NBA show for all your national NBA news throughout the offseason and the regular season. He's got interviews with coaches, scouts, and league insiders. It's a great listen. David Locke does a great job. Also, check out the rest of what the Locked On podcast network has to offer, including shows for every NBA team and your favorite NFL team, including Locked On Dolphins. The Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So, what's the plan then? Like I said, the Heat don't... Cap space isn't a thing next year. It's not going to happen. They're signing free agents, signing the star free agents, landing the whale. That's not happening. Even if you trade Tyler Johnson, it's not happening. Miami would have to make so many moves without taking any salary back, and they don't have, in order to clear cap space, and they don't have the draft picks to attach to guys to move them, right? Even if you trade Tyler Johnson, you're probably going to have to take some sort of salary back. So you probably don't even get the $7 million in cap space that you would get by clearing his contract, right? And they don't have draft picks. So they're not getting a star player through the draft anytime soon. Not in the future, at least. So you hope, okay, let's look at the guys we've already drafted. Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, Bam Adebayo. We got Tyler Johnson. We found Hassan Whiteside. These are the players that we have. Now, if you're an optimist, you look at this roster and you say, all right, the veterans, Goran Dragic and Hassan Whiteside, they don't have the miles that other players of their age and of their caliber have, right? On the last show, I said Goran Dragic has, as far as minutes played, is more like John Wall than he is a 31-year-old point guard, right? And you don't think of John Wall as somebody who may be on the on a aging veteran. You don't think of John Wall as somebody whose best basketball might be behind him. Goran Dragic looks like he's in great shape in the EuroBasket tournament. He looks like he's in great shape. He's playing well. And then Hassan Whiteside has only been playing whole seasons of basketball for almost 3 years now. So you look at him and his age, and you hope that he's got a few more miles on left in his career. And then you look at guys like Deion Waiters and Kelly Olynyk, who are 25 and 26. They're on the cusp of their primes. Now Olynyk is going to be a solid role player. Deion Waiters could be a 20-point-per-game scorer. So you have those guys, those young guys that are just on the cusp of their prime. James Johnson, also another veteran who doesn't have nearly as many miles as players of his caliber and age have, right? So you think he's got plenty more. He's in the best shape of his career right now, and you hope he's got plenty more years left. And then, of course, you have the young core, that group that has the potential that can kind of bust this team at the seams a little bit, where you've got Bam, Justice Winslow, Tyler Johnson, and Josh Richardson. If those guys develop, now Justice Winslow, 10th pick in the draft, he's got star potential. Richardson has big time role player potential. He's your prototype 3-and-D guy. Great stroke. Great defensive instincts in size and length. Prototype 3-and-D guy. High-end role player if he hits his ceiling. Bam Adebayo is the 14th pick in the draft. You saw him in Summer League. You saw what he can do. You saw his footwork and his quickness. You saw that he could shoot. If he can become this versatile small ball type center who's not small, right? You're just this versatile guy who could switch everything in ways that Hassan Whiteside can't. He could be a star in this league. He could be a really great player. This is the best case scenario for all of them. So an optimist would look at this roster and say, okay, trust in Miami's player development program that's gotten guys like James Johnson and Deion Waiters and Whiteside and Tyler Johnson this far, and hope that they can just continue on that same track, continue on that development curve so that these guys become worthy of the contracts that they signed this summer. Now, a pessimist might look at this and say, they don't have draft picks, they don't have cap space, and this team is just destined for mediocrity. I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong. I don't know which way this is going to go. What I do know is this. Riley had one option. He dug himself into a hole. He traded away draft picks for several years. No second round picks in the foreseeable future. Still has two picks owed to the Phoenix Suns for the Goran Dragic trade. And that has created a problem for him that now he can't go to the draft to try to find a star player anymore. It's the odds of that are extremely slim. Unless he can go acquire another draft pick or those two picks in between now and the year 2021 somehow become great picks or draft steals. This is a team that's built for 45-ish wins a year. So even in those years you do have the pick, you're probably not going to be in the lottery. You're not going to have a top three draft pick. So the draft is out the window, right? As the means to acquire a star player. Free agency is out the window. They don't have the cap space. All right? The way that they chased Gordon Hayward can't happen anymore. This is their option. This is the team. Internal development is the only way to find a star. Or you trade one of these contracts. Or you trade a few of these contracts. You're able to create a package of these players who show enough potential and enough upside that some team that needs to trade an all-star, some all-star demands a trade, and there is a team out there that says, we just want to trade it for a Denver Nuggets, Carmelo Anthony type package. Let's just get as many nice young pieces as possible and maybe hopefully a couple of them hit. Miami will have six players next year making in between $9 and $19 million next season. That means there's a lot of different ways to get to that $26, $27, $28 million max cap salary range, right? You could mix and match a lot of those contracts to get to a match for a max salary player. Six players making between $9 and $19 million next season. Now all of them besides Goran Dragic are either in their primes, about to enter their prime, or Justice Winslow and Josh Richardson are 21 and 23 years old, not even close to their primes, and have shown flashes of being high-end players. So, could you mix and match some of these guys to land an all-star caliber player? Sure. Look, we talked about this when Boston made the Kyrie Irving trade. It sucks that Miami wasn't able to get Kyrie Irving, but at the same time, the good news here, the silver lining, if you're a Heat fan, is that now Boston has made their trade. Now, they still have a ton of assets. They have their own draft picks. They have the Clippers pick. They have the Lakers pick. They have the Grizzlies pick. They have a bunch of draft picks like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum that they could still deal. But if there's a team that wants maybe some more veteran help, like a Goran Dragic or a James Johnson, Miami is now in the conversation. I'm not saying this is a great plan for Pat Riley, but it's the plan. This is the plan he has. He dug himself into a hole. This is the plan he has. And this Josh Richardson contract extension further clarifies that plan. And that is, he is going to bank on the development of the players that the Heat already have, and if they show out and they impress to the rest of the league, maybe he can move a few of them for a star player. This is the hand he has, this is what he's got, and that's the plan. So, look, we're happy that Josh Richardson signed the extension. I think he's got a ton of upside. $10.5 million a year is going to look like a bargain if Josh Richardson could stay healthy, and I think he can. This is going to look like a bargain. He is explosive in transition. He's got his best basketball is clearly ahead of him. His three-point shooting combined with his defense is just something that this Heat team doesn't have. Quality defense and length and quality shooting. The Heat have quality shooters like Wayne Ellington. They've got quality defenders like Justice Winslow, but Richardson is the rare blend of both that this roster was missing. He's a great fit for this team. I think he's going to be the starter on opening day for the Heat at small forward. And overall, I love the extension. I think it's going to look like a bargain. All right, well, that's all we have for today. Whether you're listening on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast, thank you for listening. You can send future mailbag questions or get information about advertising on the show by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. To support the show, make sure you subscribe and leave us a rating on iTunes. Review us, say nice things about us. We'll catch you next time.